thank God through Jesus Christ. That's the answer. And then that's what you read in verse 1 of chapter 8. There is therefore. Now when you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for, right? Therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The word no in the Greek, it's a negative here, and it's a little bitty word, but it is the most powerful for negative or no that there is in the Greek language. It means none, nada, not any, absolutely nothing, not even one single thing. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That means there is none. Condemnation would mean to damn or to condemn to eternal death. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Think about that. Christians, if we really want to be honest, we're not sure if we believe it. I mean, if we really want to be honest, you know, she was taken in the very act of adultery. They dragged her out of bed. She doesn't have any clothes on. She can't say, "Wasn't me." They took her right out of bed, dragged her completely naked, threw her in front of the teacher, Jesus. Remember? Wouldn't you be embarrassed? Oh, yes, you would. Oh, look at me like that. Yeah. I think we all would. Got no excuse. Can't say I didn't do it. You got more than two witnesses here. You are going to be stoned to death. That's the law. And we all want to keep the God's word. And God's word says stone her to death. Now, it usually takes two to tango, metaphorically speaking, of course. And so I don't understand where person B is. But the truth is, I don't think the teachers, the doctors of the law, I don't think they care about what's right or what's wrong. I think they just want to see if they can trap the master. So she's there in front of the master, and she's completely naked and expecting to be hit with rocks at any moment. See, you would, according to the law, you would stand her in a trough, like a horse trough or a donkey trough, an animal feeding trough, long, fill it with manure, stand her in it completely naked, and stone her to death. Hit her with so many rocks until finally she fell over into the manure. And then, of course, they would beat her to death with the rocks after that. And the law said that that should happen. So they throw her on the ground in the dirt, and they say, "Master, this woman was taken in the very act of adultery, and Moses in the law says she should be stoned to death. What do you say?" And Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dirt. All right, now wait a minute. Put yourself in the crowd. You got your rock. I'm going to hit this woman. She's a loser anyway, low life. I'm glad I'm not that way. Got my rock. I'm going to smash her big time. She deserves it. And I want to do what the Bible says, and the Bible says she should be stoned. And Jesus starts to write. And they kind of badger him. "Come on, Master, what do you say? You know what Moses says? We want to hear. What do you teach? What do you say?" They think they got him. And he stands up after a while and he looks on them, the Bible says, and he says, "Let him," or the one, "who is without sin," the person that is perfect here, "cast the first stone." Now, what that statement means is the sinless one can throw the first stone. All the rest of us can then join in and throw the rest of the stones. So I'd be going, "All right, come on, sinless dude, I can't wait, go for it. I know it's not me, but I'll still hit her. But you got someone else has to throw the first rock." You know, they always let the throw the first rock of the game, you know. Then he stoops back down and he starts to write. What would you have done had you been in that crowd? Well, everybody, from the eldest to the youngest, did the Michael Jackson moonwalk, the Bible says. Well, it didn't say it quite like that. They just slinked away until no one was there, but the crowd, of course. All the accusers are gone, and there's just Jesus with this lady. And John 8, verses 10 through 11, we read this. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman. Oh, you need to know that that is not an offensive term. That is an endearing term. It is a loving term. It is the word he used when he talked to his own mother. Woman. Remember what he said to Mary? Woman, what have I to do with you? It is a very respectful term. It would be like you and I saying today to a lady, ma'am. It's very respectful. And he says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Remember, she's expecting to be put to death. She's got no excuse. She is caught. Has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. Now remember, Jesus is fully human, but he is God. And God says, has any man condemned you? And she says, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, I'm going to die for this sin. Now, too many Christians, the picture they have of Jesus when he's saying this to the woman, he's got his teeth clenched. He is mad. She makes him sick because of the lousy lifestyle she's living. She's not even right now. And they've got this picture. He's looking at her saying, you know, this makes me sick, but I'm telling you what, you caught me on a good day. Get out of here and don't ever make another mistake. That's what some of you believe Jesus is like. That's not what he said. Language is clear. Ma'am, where are those that accuse you? Does any man accuse you? And she says, no, Lord. And he said, you know what? I'm God, and I don't either. You're free to go now, and you're freed from sin. Don't sin anymore. I set you free. I love you. You go and don't sin. She deserved punishment. But Jesus paid for the sin. What would you have done had you had that rock in your hand? We do this today quite a bit. When she's dragged out and she's thrown naked in front of us, we're all standing there with rocks. Now, if you like her, she's a friend of yours. Maybe you met her and you think, she's okay. Here's what you say. Guys, don't kill her. She means well. She's trying. She has a problem with going to bed with guys. That's just her. I mean, I think she's really trying to grow. Now, if you don't like her, or if you're mad at her, she's hurt your feelings, or you don't know her at all, you're going to say something like, she couldn't possibly be saved. What a loser. What a louse. She makes me sick. Kill her. She's bitter anyway. She's a gossip. She's always got many, many problems. Stone her. You know, we're standing in the crowd. We read the National Enquirer, and the Enquirer said, for minds like mine, the Enquirer said he turned stones into bread, he threatened to. Well, he never did. But he didn't turn water into wine. Okay, well, we'll give you that. You know, the National Enquirer is going to lie anyway. And you know, truth is, he said a lot of things that are not politically correct. You know, he called Herod a fox, meaning a sneaky individual. He called the religious leaders who we look up to and respect, you know, he called them sons of snakes. He called them sons of the devil. He called them an adulterous generation. He said that they were liars and that they were hypocrites. You don't say that about well-respected people. He's got mental difficulties. And Pilate says, what should I do with him? And you were in that crowd. What would you yell? I don't know. I kind of like him. I mean, I haven't met him personally, but he turned water into wine. I'm not into wine, but let the guy go. No, most people didn't yell that day, did they? I don't have a problem with him. I mean, you beat him. That's enough. Why don't you give the guy a break? You'd feel stupid if you were the only one in a few thousand, wouldn't you? Or would you yell, crucify him. Kill him. He's a jerk. He's a loser, man. We don't like his kind anyway. I think he's mental. You leave him loose, he's going to hurt himself and somebody else. Get rid of him. How quick we are to condemn. Got that rock. I'm going to kill. When I was in the Seabees, which is a branch of the Navy, no one ever told me this. It was just understood after I got out of boot camp. You always fight the Marines. Any of you guys Marines? Ex-Marines? It's true, huh? There's a Navy guy. We got to beat him up. It's just an unwritten law. So you see a Marine, you know, two Navy guys, two Marines, you start, oh, you're a Marine. Oh, yeah. I scream. And then we go. But then an army boy walks by. What do? We quit fighting each other because nobody likes the army, right? You got to beat that guy up. It's just one of those unwritten laws that we do. We're Christians. We do the exact same thing. We start fighting among ourselves for no good reason. And then somebody else comes by that's a different denomination. You stop and beat on them for a while. And then when you got them good and beaten, go back to fighting each other. That's Christians condemning. Just pick up that rock and you throw it at somebody. Somebody deserves it. We're just trying to do what the Bible says. Wait a minute. There is therefore now no condemnation. None. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Have you ever been born again? Have you asked Jesus into your life? Do you understand that you are forgiven completely? That Jesus himself paid the price for all sin? In the book of Genesis, we see the ark. Remember Noah and Mrs. Noah? Remember that Noah and the guys, they built an ark, a boat. And that ark is a type of Jesus Christ. I think you all know that. They built this ark and they put seven animals of each kind in here, these types of animals, two animals of each kind of this kind of animal. And they're filling the ark. Now the Bible says in Genesis 7:16, the Bible says, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, and God, or as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in." After all the animals were in, Noah's family gets on board, and Noah gets on board, and the Bible says the Lord shut him in. That's not the picture that many people have. Christians, they have a different picture. They got a picture of Noah and the family out on the deck, and the waves are coming up, the rain's coming down, the wind's blowing, and Noah looks at everybody and goes, "You're on your own, dudes. Wife, tie yourself to something." And Noah grabs a rope, ties himself, and hangs on. We got 1 year. We're going to go. And that's how a lot of people are walking their Christian life. Didn't you notice the Bible said in the book of Romans, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus? Didn't you see in Genesis 7 that God shut them in that boat? Don't you see that God didn't just pound some stakes on the sides of the ark and stuck Noah on there hanging on and say, "All right, you got 1 year, hang on. I've given you this, but you got to hang on to it. The winds and the waves and you're hanging on it." That's how some people see their Christian walk today. Don't you understand that if you're born again, you are in Christ Jesus? You are hidden there. God has shut you in. You are literally a part of the body of Jesus Christ. So when God looks at you, it's just like you and I looking at the ark floating in the water. What do you see? Who do you see? Do you see Noah? I don't think so. Do you see his wife? Do you see any of the kids? No, they have been shut in. What do you see? You see the ark itself. When God looks at you, what does he see? Jesus. You're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. So drop your rocks, would you? Let's all just drop the rocks and quit looking for somebody to hit with them. Everyone who is in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. You're free. Every one of you. That means no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, and no matter how badly you've done it, you are innocent in God's eyes. Justified. You are completely forgiven. God says, "I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you can imagine that is stronger than my love. And it's all yours if you'll come home to me." You're forgiven. There is no condemnation to all of those who are in Christ Jesus. So you ask this question, "Man, I want to be in Jesus." That's easy. All you have to do is turn to God and say, "I want to be in you. Let me hide in you. Let me be there. Come into my heart. I want to be a Christian. Take me into the body of Christ." Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, in Jesus Christ. You're forgiven completely. You're free now to serve. Drop the rocks. Don't even think about attacking one another. Pray for one another. Hold each other up. When you see your brother or your sister overtaken in a fault, you with your spiritual, Galatians 6:1, go to them with the intent of saying, I'm just as weak as you. This could be me, and I'm here to help you. I'll pray for you. I'll strengthen you. I'll hold you up. Drop the rocks, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And he brings up a thought from verse 4. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That comes from verse 4. It's not really in verse 1. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you hear that? The law of the Spirit, which would be the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. One law freed me from the other law. The law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ freed me from the law of sin and death. Now, I'll give you a little bit of an example. It does break down in the long run, but it kind of helps to understand it. Friend of mine is a pilot, and I had to speak one time at a place that was a little far away, and he said, instead of driving, let me fly you there. And I thought, that'd be fun. He had a twin-engine plane that we could use. So we got out there to the airport. I want you to know what I saw. I look out there in the airport, and there's the plane. And it wasn't off the ground. It was sitting on the ground. Why? Because there's a law involved. And that law is gravity. I run up to the plane. I try to pick it up. That's a heavy airplane, those twin engines. I couldn't lift it. It was a big, heavy plane. The law of gravity kept it on the ground. So we get into it, and he does all his checking. He revs up these engines and starts powering them down, and we get moving. He's moving his feet, and he's moving his hands, and he shoves that thing forward, and he's doing something with the flaps. And all of a sudden, I feel the force coming, and he just puts some thrust to it, and we lifted off the ground. And slowly we climbed, and soon we're at 3,000 and 4,000 feet. What happened to the law of gravity? Did it die? Was it gone? It's still there. The law is still there, but now the law of aerodynamics has taken over. And the law of the law of gravity is still in effect, but it is literally overpowered by another law. That's what the Bible says. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is still in effect, but I am free from it. I can now float above it. There's another law, and that's what God has done for you and for me. You've been given life. Freely you've been given life. Now you're born again. You are in Christ Jesus. You are hidden there. When God looks at you, you are perfect. There is no sin ever. All your sin is forgiven in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and paid the price for all sin. And then we read this in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What the law couldn't do because it was weak through the flesh. Notice, nothing is wrong with the law. Everything is wrong with me. It's the flesh that's the problem. The law is great, but the flesh is the problem. So the law is made weak through the flesh. I'll give you another silly example. You say this to yourself, all right? God wants me to obey him, to not murder, he wants me to return good for evil. Here we're seeing the law. We're seeing what God wants from me. So I determine I am going to be a better witness at work. I'm going to be a better witness. I'm not going to argue with my boss anymore. No matter what he or she says or does, I don't care. I'm just going to be a witness like God wants me to be. I'm going to keep God's word. I'm going to keep his law and put my mind to it. Then one day, you wake up tired. You don't know why. A million and three reasons. You just couldn't sleep too good. And you even got this headache. You're headed to work, taxes are due pretty soon, and you have no idea where the money's coming from. It seems to be weighing on your head. You get into the middle of traffic, and you're 15 minutes late for work because of all the non-Christian drivers that are out there. You've seen them. I know that there's a group that has a radio. Maybe they're using cell phones, because when I go by and they're all on the phone, I know they're talking about me because they look over me and laugh. And I think, every one of them is on the phone. And they know I'm running late, so what do? All right, everybody, slow down. Slow down to 5 miles. I'll tell you what, you up front, have an accident, dude. Just a fender bender. Let's shut down the world so Bob can't get anywhere. Okay, everybody? Okay. Happened to you? Happens all the time. So you show up to work 15 minutes late. Your boss is waiting there and says, that's the second time in 5 years you've been late. I'm warning you. And what happens? You explode. You tell him, you use words that you didn't know that you had. They are descriptive adjectives. And there you're saying things and you have blown your witness. Why? Because the law, what the law could not do in it, it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of... Jesus came in the flesh, fully God, fully man, but he never sinned. So he was in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus paid the price for my sin and yours. Are you a Christian? I mean, honestly, have you really asked Jesus into your life? Then your sin is forgiven. Now, here's something that freaks most faithful farmers. You say this to a Christian. Are your sins forgiven? They say, yes, I'm born again. And you say, then everything you're going to do wrong tomorrow has already been covered and forgiven. As a matter of fact, everything you, if God gives you another 10 years... Everything that you do wrong for the next 10 years has been forgiven at the cross, and you haven't even gotten to those 10 years yet. You are forgiven in Jesus Christ. It is a free gift. You have been locked into the ark. You have been placed into Jesus Christ where there is no condemnation. So now you are free to be a Christian, to walk and to serve him and to love each other and to hold each other up. Drop the rocks. Because with your hands full of rocks, you're not going to be able to preach the gospel. See, I can't talk without using my hands. So you got to get rid of the rocks so you can talk. And we read this. That the righteousness, verse 4, of the law might be fulfilled in us. Do you notice the righteousness of the law is not fulfilled by us? It is fulfilled in us. Who fulfilled it? Jesus Christ paid the price. His righteousness is now mine. There is none more righteous than Jesus. And if I'm in him, there is none more righteous than me. Are you in Jesus? His righteousness is yours. God looks at you, and that's what he sees. The robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ. You said, but I'm a loser. Well, I know. Join the club. But you are forgiven. Your friends may never let you forget it. Your family may never let you forget it. So thank God that at the throne judgment, your mother is not going to be there with him. Or your friends. Oh, Lord, give this guy, take him out, Lord. And he didn't mean date me. He means get rid of me. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To mind the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit means to set your mind on them. Now, when you were younger, when I was younger, maybe this happened to you. My parents would say this to the boys. Now, my sister was perfect, but to the guys... Because girls just don't seem to, until they hit 12. My parents would look at us boys and say, we're going to visit our friends. Now, guys, we want you to mind your manners. Your parents, did anybody ever say that to you? Mind your manners. You know what that means, literally? Set your mind on what you're saying and doing. Mind your manners. Sometimes, I would be told this by teachers or by family members. They would say, mind what I tell you. And they were saying, you set your mind on what I am saying to you. Sometimes my dad, who was in the military, he spent about 1,000 years in the military. And there were times when he had to be gone. And he would say to all of us, especially the guys, the boys, it's all right. I'm going to be gone for the weekend. You mind your mother, or I'll come home and have to kill you. And what was he saying? You set your mind on what your mother is saying and what your mother wants done. You set your mind on that. What does the Bible just tell you? They that are after the flesh do set their minds on the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You're born again. You are in Christ. We should be setting our minds on the things that are spiritual. To be carnally minded, he says, for to be carnally minded is death. It means setting your mind on carnally minded. Now, some people say carnally minded means all sorts of sexual perversion or murders or robbery. No, no, no. To be carnally minded, set your mind on the flesh, is really the flesh and the world are your priorities. That's all you care about. Things that are going on, material things, that's where your heart and mind are set. And that leads to death, physical and spiritual death. But on the other hand, to be spiritually minded is to set your minds on the things of the Spirit. Lord, you tell me what you are interested in. Tell me what you want for my life. Show me how to do this. Lord, grow me. I want to keep my mind on what you think. That is life and peace. And I'm telling you, and you'll admit it if you'll be honest, wouldn't we like to have some peace? Not just around the world, but in our own hearts. Wouldn't you love to sit and rest for a moment and be at peace? Just saying, I am my beloved's and he is mine. He has taken care of me. I can rest inside Jesus in the ark. I'm a part of his family. I am his and he is mine. He has washed me clean. There's nothing I can do. I'm not going to hang on to the outside of the ark and just with my own strength. No, I'm hidden in him. So are you. We're born again. If you've never been born again, this morning, you say, I want to be in Jesus too. I give my heart. Lord, come into my heart. Turn me. I turn back to you. Turn my life around. It's simple. It's a hard issue. Now, you were created, mankind's created a triune being. There's a big word. God is a Trinity, I believe, according to Scripture. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When he created man, he made us a triune being, mankind, men and women. Listed this way, I list them, I believe, in order of importance. Spirit, soul, and body. People say, what is your spirit? Your spirit, I believe, according to Scripture, is really the deepest part of you. It's really what you and I would call the real you. That's your spirit. And here's an interesting thought. That's different than your soul. I believe your soul is your mind and your emotions. And then, of course, your body, that's the tent you live in, this temporary dwelling. So you've got your spirit, the real you. You've got your soul, which would be your mind and your emotions. And you've got the tent that is all being held in, this body. And doctors today, psychologists, psychiatrists, whatever, heads, people, they can't figure it out. They don't know how to split between the real you and your mind and your emotions. And you know what? Not one person in this room knows how either. There is no power that can do it except for God himself. You say, wow, mind and emotions and the real me, well, how do you differentiate? I'll show you. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. I don't think anything can do it but God. No doctor that of the mind is ever going to crack that. And you and I will never figure it out either. We are too complex. But God says he is even able to divide between the real deep you and your mind and your emotions. That's a sharp instrument God is working with, and it's his word. And what does his word tell us? Get your mind on the things that are spiritual. How do you do that? First, you must be born again. You must be placed inside Jesus Christ. You must be part of the family of God. Number two, you must recognize that in this new nature, there is no strength. It's like being an electrical appliance. You've got to be plugged into the source to do your job. You must be born again because the power is God's. It is not our own. There are no gimmicks. There are no tricks. You need to be in Jesus Christ. And if you are born again and in Jesus Christ, you are completely forgiven. All your sin is gone, which frees you up to have the peace He promised and to walk with Him and to serve Him, recognizing His strength is all I need. Paul says it later on. He's going to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even though I'm weak, Jesus Christ strengthens me. I can walk in His strength and in the power of God. Some of you are saying, man, I'd like to serve and I'd like to do this and I'd like to get closer to God, but I'm too filthy. I've been too bad. My life is too messed up. And I say, not so. Jesus says, who condemns you? No man, Lord. Then neither do I condemn you. Go in the freedom that is yours now and don't sin. He gives you life. You're not too bad to walk with the Lord our God, because Jesus Christ is the righteousness. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, as we worship now, it takes 1 or 2 seconds. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Hide me in you. As the Bible says, let me hide in you. Hide me away. When the storms are all around me, we're inside the ark. God shut them in, the Bible says. We're in Jesus. We're protected. You've got the promises. You've got the strength in Him. Drop your rocks and don't condemn others and don't attack. Use your energy and your life to serve God and to bring glory to His kingdom and to tell others that there is good news, there is mercy, there is hope.